This is a Gathering Heritage project interview recorded in County Louth in Ireland.
Now, I'd like to welcome to our Gathering Heritage project, Piers O'Hanrahan. Could you tell me a little bit about your family, your father? Where did your father come from? Was he from Dundalkman? Or tell me a little bit about your dad.
Well, Dad was actually born in Galway, reared in Dublin. He came to Dundalk originally in the old GNR, in the wages department, and was the in charge there. His job went, when they took over the wages of the Great Northern in Belfast. So he was out in the late 40s. And
which was a difficult time to get work, I suppose, was it, Pierre?
Oh, it was next to impossible.
How many was in your family?
Ended up with six brothers and two sisters. Now, there were three sisters, actually. One died a child, a month old, Marion, who would have been Breege's twin. She died in 54. That would have had eight of us there at this time, shortly after the chip shop opened.
No, the Laurels, you lived in the Laurels, and where did your father get that house? Were they council houses or what were they?
It's a council house. It was a council house. I was delighted because they had been living in an apartment above what became Madam Kay's, the old Boyles.
And did you live there, or were you born at that time?
No, I was born in the Laurels.
So how many children lived in that flat in Glenbrass Street?
Just one.
At that time?
At that time. I was the second in the family.
And Pierce, at that time, was there flats over all of the shops in Glenbrass Street? I know there were some people lived there.
Well, I would say the bulk of the second and third stories along Glenbrass Street were residential. It's hard to grasp now, but so many people lived, and people who owned shops actually lived above the shops. Those who didn't, they got money, income, from letting them to couples.
And there was talk a few years ago about trying to get all those flats that's there now, some of them in a bad way, all done up and because of the housing situation.
Oh, that would be an excellent idea, because people would be back into the heart of the town. At the time, it was thriving, Glenbrass Street, and people were living there, happily living. And I would say you could resurrect the town by doing that. Absolutely no doubt about that.
Now, you tell me about your mum.
Mum was from Dublin Street. She was a Gaini, very well known family.
Great Dundalk family.
Oh, yeah. She had been a Tippin originally. A lot of the older generation would remember Andy Tippin, who had the pub above the shops at the square. It became O'Reilly's later. I don't know what's in it at the moment. But it's like the rest of the area, it's changed. But Mam was from Dublin Street.
And what did she work at during before she got married?
Mam was in England and came back, met Dad. She wasn't actually working at the time. She met Dad and decided they were getting married. And that was it. At that time, it wasn't a case of everybody worked, because there weren't jobs to fill them all. This is why people went. And Mam was in Manchester for a number of years and then came back and met Dad, and that was it.
And when you think of it, Pierce, living on Glenbrass Street, like there was no gardens, there was no, it must have been very congested. I know they only had one child.
Yeah, but it was a way of life. But if you go back and remember the Boyles, at the back there were gardens. Right in behind. When the Boyles Hall was built, there was a side before the little office went. But that was an entry into the back garden.
And the people, did they use it?
Yeah. It was there and would probably be used by the shops as well for holding pieces of the infrastructure that's needed in the shops.
So your dad lived there with one child, and when then was he walking at that time? He was walking in the GNR.
Yeah.
So therefore they moved then from the flat. Was the thing with the council in those days that if you're living in a place, a small flat, that you would be entitled to a house?
Not necessarily. It would depend on circumstances at the time. There were no automatics, and the procedure was an awful lot different. It was decided in the main by the councillors. The councillors actually voted for people to be allocated from the list. And they would go to the people involved, the couples involved right around, check and see what the background was, so that when they came to a meeting, they knew exactly what the circumstances of each couple was.
And that's the way.
And they, in their own way, prioritised.
So they moved then down to the Laurels, and you were born in the Laurels.
Yes.
And where are you in the family?
I'm the second. I'm second. And I was the second of Nurse McAvoy's deliveries.
From W3.
She delivered all of them.
And at home?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, do you remember that? No. You probably remember it for the other children, though.
But all I know is I must have been a right bolster at the time, because Mum told me I was 13 pounds when I was born. I'm as big now as I was then.
Pierce, any idea what year the Laurels was built?
It would have been the beginning of 39, the end of 38.
I didn't realise, actually, there were council houses for some reason. I don't know why, because there were lovely houses down there.
Well, see, they were the ones that were allocated immediately after Alphonsus Villas. Alphonsus Villas. Yeah. And then, I think, 37, 38. And the Laurels were the ones that followed those.
Now, your dad then, how long was this there? When did he lose his job? How many children had he got at that time?
It would have been the late 40s, and there would have been five children.
Now, we're leading up, of course, to when did he lose his job? Did he decide what to do? Did you go on the dole, or what happened when
he didn't? Well, there was very little dole in those days, if there was any. No, he went straight and decided on the chip shop.
Yeah, why? What was that? Well, I mean, he worked in the GNR. Yeah. He had no experience of chips. Why would he pick a chip shop?
Because it was, well, he looked, from what he had told me on and off over the years, there was a vacancy in that particular area. There was nothing. And because of the proximity to the main street, it was in a good position.
He was well ahead of his time, wasn't he?
You have no idea how many years ahead of his time. It was unbelievable. But he opened it there, and it was in the old kitchen. But the back room, which was a dining room, was turned into the cookhouse. I can remember the sweet tins, because with the war, there was still a big scarcity of proper implements and proper cooking utensils. And it was the big tins that boiled sweets came in, that he used. And he cut them down himself. He smelted around the edges. He got rid of all the hard pieces, reinforced them, and it was those he used for the cooking of the
now,
original ones.
Did he discuss this with, I'm just trying to put myself in the situation, did he sit down one night and say to the family and to your mum, I'm going to open a chip shop, or did he discuss it with you, because you, this was your home?
Oh, we weren't involved. I would say it was a discussion with himself and Mammy, and between them, they decided.
And what was, can you remember, Pierce, when he was talking about it or getting it ready? Did you notice they were, what age were you at that time?
Oh, I would have been about 8 or 9. Oh,
right. So you wouldn't have any say.
It was above me.
Yeah. Did you know what was going on?
That's all I would know.
Now, the thing about the chips or the chip shop, it's probably the hardest job that anybody on earth could take. But your family, the whole family got involved in it. Did you, even at your young age, did you help out at the very beginning? I know you did later on.
Oh, yeah. Because you had to wait. Originally, it was just takeaway. And the trade built up and built up, and Daddy made changes to the place and partitioned off an area, and seats and tables were brought in for sit down, as we would call it at the time. So it evolved from that.
No, when you did he have any experience of making chips? Like, did he go and train how to make chips, or do you just you trial and error kind of thing?
Well, between himself and Mammy, they did it. I don't know how they did it, but they worked the way they got it, and they knew exactly what they wanted to do, and they did it. They were a great team.
For you, what was your job mainly over the years in it?
Like your past experiences, I would be more front of the house or back of the house, but not in the cooking.
Oh, so you were the pip that was taking the orders.
I would be on that end, but I would also be out the back peeling, cutting.
Because there wasn't machines at that time for peeling, was there?
Oh, I still remember the clipper. And the clipper was a hand one. You put one spud in and you pushed down on it, and it pushed through the grills.
And this the chips all had to be done by
hand. Spud. They weren't potatoes then, they were just spuds.
Did you?
One at a time, yeah.
When you think back, Pierce, it was incredible what you were able to do in a small council house, you know, because I've told a lot of people I was coming down to talk to you, and they have, everyone has great memories, anyone that went down there. What is your memories of when it was really going very, very, very strong? Because there's queues onto the footpath.
Onto the footpath?
Well, round the corners.
They came out through the house, through the front garden, and they always went to the left, past Muckins, who lived next door, and down past Mrs. Grimes. And that was the length of the queue. It would have been 2.5 houses long, and then right in to the window.
I remember going down and coming from pictures in Nicholas's Hall or wherever, and like people would, it was only a lot of couples went down to it afterwards at night for, you know, because on the way home for chips. And how did you make so many chips, putting them in one at a time for a big queue like that? It must have been mind-blowing.
Oh, it had to be. You did it during the day. You prepared during the day, and you had your bin for the chipped potatoes, and you left them in the bin in water so that they were fresh. But then on top of that, to make it more difficult, the way that they were cooked with Mum and Dad, they were pre-cooked, kept in aluminium container, and then when you ordered, they were cooked again. They were cooked first until they were just about finger soft and then put to one side. And the longer they were left, the better. So if you did them around the early afternoon, they were perfect for the night.
And what happened when you were at school?
Well, Daddy was doing this, and Mammy. They'd be doing the cooking while we were at school. And you came home from school and you got stuck into whatever was needed to be done.
So did it affect your, when you think back now, Piers, you mentioned football a wee while ago, but could you, maybe you want to go somewhere and your dad would say, oh no, no, you have to be here making the chips or wherever?
Yeah, but there were times when you felt like rebelling. But it wasn't bad because the football wouldn't be too bad because you'd be able to get your jobs done. And then there was no real rush until after the seven pictures. Yeah. The first house pictures finished about a quarter of 10 to 9 and the football would normally be over. So you'd be home for that. And that would be the first rush. Now that wasn't the real busy one. But the busy period started about 9:30, 10:30. Before the second house pictures, when the draws finished. If you remember back, you had the draw in the Dowdles Hill.
Oh, these are the non-stop draws.
Non-stop draws. They were in Dowdles Hill, they were in the Maris, they were in Callaroga, the Friary. There were four of them. And the crowd went there and came home. Because in those days you didn't have entertainment. This was entertainment.
Was there any of the family, the kids, rebelled about, no, I'm not doing that, or they didn't do it, they went another way?
No, we all did our share. Everyone at different times did a share.
Were you paid for it?
Well, it depends on what you call pay.
You get a free bag of chips. You probably had chips for breakfast, dinner and tea, didn't you? Like, how did you manage that now for breakfast? Your mum would have to do the breakfast and before he's gone to school, yeah. And then
dinner time.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, not in the evening. Dinner time was the dinner.
She would make a full, the ordinary dinner,
yeah.
For
you. Oh, yes, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, well, unbelievable.
Now, can you remember how much a solo was? And tell us about the solo. Where did this name come into? Because it comes up more times at quizzes in Dundalk. Where did the solo name come in?
I don't know where it actually evolved from. But I know it was a thing that Daddy suggested. To do chips and peas. It was mainly for sitting in. And the name Solo became, I don't know where it came from, but it became the recognised name. And the Solo was chips and peas on the one plate, and it cost the unearthly sum of sixpence.
Which, how much is that? 2.5 cents or something now?
Is it even that?
No, I remember, this is in my memory, if you wanted to go in and sit down, there was a slightly different queue. The queue kind of went in another...
On the right.
Takeaway. On the left, yes. Was sitting. And you followed the partition on the left. And when you got round the partition, you were hoping there was a space inside.
And would people spend a long time in there, or would you be hoping that they'd get out so as other people can come in?
Well, it'd be a case of helping them make up their minds to go. Especially when there was a queue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you'd be waiting tables and you see an empty plate and you just grab the plate and go away and leave them sitting with nothing in front of them.
How did your dad cope with, because it was very hard work and he was the face behind the whole thing. Did it affect him in any way, or did he love what he was doing, or was it just a means of supplying food for wages for to run the house?
Well, basically it was to rear a family, get the finances to do that. But he had to have certain enjoyment, or he could never have done it for the length he did. But then you don't think of him in the background, because he was there at the pans the whole time. just dishing out stuff as it was asked for, ordered, like sausages, fish. And he was absolutely meticulous. Meticulous to a fault. If he battered a fish and went in, and it didn't turn out a half reasonable shape, it would be thrown out. That was it. And it was unbelievable. Like Mrs. Grimes, two doors away from us, as a lot of streets had at the time, she reared pigs because she was in a corner house and had a long side garden. And she reared pigs. And she had the best fed pigs in Dundalk.
Full of chips.
Yeah. It was a 16-week cycle for the pigs. They were born, and at 16 weeks, they were taken in for slaughter. Hers went in at 13 to 14 weeks. And Malone's always bought her pigs.
The thing that, listening to you with all the work that had to be, the house was not the normal house that everybody would live in, and like we lived in Hill Street and my father would go to work and come home, but it was completely different. Did you know it was different than other houses?
Not really. It was just the way life was at the time. We lived above the shop. Front room upstairs was a sitting room come bedroom.
Because that's right, you had no sitting room downstairs.
Because we had nothing downstairs. And eventually the house across the road in Griffith Place, 4 Griffith Place, when that became vacant, it was taken, and there was a family in that then.
Now, there's also, along with the solo, there's also, when you mention Hanrahan's chip shop, there's the other thing, there's two things, as always mentioned, the solo and...
Well, you've glass of milk, one. You've not, battered sausage,
yeah.
Two.
No, these weren't now food. The cigarette...
Oh, the cigarettes, yeah. And the mansion polished lid of the tin. Oh, yes. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. There were big tins of...
The mansion polished, because the floor was tiled and there was red tiles, and the mansion polish was used to keep the floor shiny.
And you held on and the tins, to the tins, and they lasted forever.
The full tin was too big for the tables, so it was only the lid. And the lid was perfect size.
Yeah,
and that would be used as for the butts.
Would you say that did your father and mother make money out of it?
They made a living. They reared a family. I wouldn't say they made money yet at any stage, because possibly they were too particular. And there was another aspect to my mother that wouldn't be known. And that was that certain women would come. And I would know, I was well schooled by Mammy, so I would know what to do, and I'd just say, Mrs. So-and-so's order. And a large parcel would come, it was given, and I was given a very, very small amount of money. And that was it. And there were quite a few families that Mammy looked after over the years. And it was never said. I was schooled so well that I would just say the name. And the parcel came out and there was nothing said. Now, when Mammy was doing this, he was so astute. He knew what was going on but said nothing. Said nothing, yep. Because he would accept what she was doing.
How many years was it there?
It'd be over 20, but 20, 21 years.
So some of the family must have been moving out, but did they go back and help?
I went to England. I mean, I came home. Breda was with me. And Breda would go in on the Friday for the rush to help. And I would do bits and pieces, yes. Even though we had our own home, we stayed with them while the house and bay estate was being finished. About 5-6 months after we came home from England.
So they sold, you closed it down. When or why did you, did your dad decide, right, and your mum and dad decide, right, enough's enough?
No. Dad died. He was actually going up to bed one night and took a slight stroke and fell back down the stairs.
And this was when it was in full flight?
Yeah. This was in 70. And it was run, Micheál was very involved in it at that stage. And it was run for a few years until it was more or less decided that Mammy wasn't up to the amount of work she was doing. She was still acting as if she was a 20-year-old because she was an absolute glutton for work. An unbelievable woman. That's, work meant nothing. Like, she reared kids. She'd have a child and she'd be in the shop the next day.
Did word get round that you were closing? Can you remember, we'll say, the last week or the last night of the chip shop?
I can remember people, it wasn't publicly known. It was just said, we're closed, and that's it. But people stopping on the street says, oh no, that's wrong. It's an awful loss. It's a heritage gone from the town. But because there was so much involved in it, we're talking about just the work, and like, I became a matchmaker during my period waiting there. You'd get girls or boys coming up to me saying, will you put a word in with me, in for me with so-and-so? And
had they be maybe down in the queue of it?
Well, not necessarily. They mightn't even be there. And this would be done for the next time they come in. So-and-so was asking about you. And yes. I know a number of marriages, I won't name anyone, but at least five I know marriages that came from introductions like that.
Because when you think back on it, it was a hard life because, as you say, the work and everything. But do you look very fondly on it, or would you have preferred if your mum and dad hadn't to have worked so hard to make a living for the kids?
Well, ideally, it would have been better if they hadn't had to do that. But it just shows the calibre of the two individuals, that they were a couple, and they were parents, and they were a couple who really cared about the family, and they wanted the best of everything for the family. And their way of providing this was actually a hard life for themselves. There's no doubt about that. They had a tough time, especially Mammy, because Daddy was on the one thing, tough, hard, sog, but Mammy was doing two. She was rearing the family. She was feeding the family, but she was also in the shop all the time.
Piers, can I thank you very much indeed for talking to me?
No problem, Harry.
Listen to lots more epic interviews at gatheringheritage.com.